It would be easier if this was a matter of history, because I'm an historian by profession, you see. So much easier for historians to interpret the past than to interpret the law. Welcome, Jack. I just want to indicate that, look, we've got time constraints. The communication budget vote is scheduled for 20 to 5. This thing has got an echo. 20 to 5, and I know that members have been under a lot of pressure, so I would want them to, I would want us to adjourn at about 3:30 at the latest, part of the floor, if we have to. Because I know that Patricia has to get her hair done and some of this thing again. But Killian was insisting that I must give her time to brush up and all that. I don't look smart on TV and the debate. So, in my case, I have to go and go through my speech and just familiarize myself with my notes and all that. But I've got other responsibilities. So, let's target for about 3:30, 4:15 at the latest.
We have to come out here.
Yes.
That takes a long time.
In my case, it takes a very long time to groom this year. All right. I'm working on the understanding that the inquiry is continuing. I know that parties have had some time to think about the issues over this lunch break. And I'm going to ask for members to indicate how we want to proceed. In terms of the approach, I think now it would be better if we have one question, one response. Somebody poses a question, let's get the response, rather than a whole lot of questions and then you're all over the place. So a direct question, please, with very few speeches in between. You've had all that opportunity in the morning. Clear questions, clear focus, and then we get responses. And then we will try and, see how we... And also, if you can stick to one thing, one issue that you want to discuss, and so that we can complete that. Otherwise, we're jumping from all sorts of things that is not helping us. So can I recognize Mr. Kulwani first, and then Mr. Kandanda?
Sir, you just caught me out of start, trying to check out my document. But sir, the issue which we wanted to raise, sir, before we attend, Mr. Andy Lembeck, one of the members of the board, raised a matter. Among other things, he was talking about the presentation of the finances as the chapters, or the presentation of the finances by the audit chair and other things, and engage on that. But in his remarks, he also indicated one issue, sir, which I just wanted us to further pursue it. It's around the issue of when he said, as a true South African, and so on and so on. To be honest, the center is no longer holding in the SADC. Now, sir, originally, when I asked the question in the morning, I asked questions based on the memo which has been submitted by one of the board members, Mr. Sekamji, raising his views in terms of the functionality of the board. Now, that question was not responded to, sir. But to go back on that question, sir, in linking to the statement which has been made by Mr. Mbeki, is that, does that mean the views raised by Mr. Tukamji in his memo holds true, as he himself has indicated that the center is no longer holding in the SAPC board? So that we also check whether that is the general view of the board members who are here. We wanted to explore that part so that we finalize that matter before we can go to the presentation of the finances and the other things. Thanks.
Same Becky? And any other member of the board? State your question. State the question.
I'm putting one as soon as they ask the question. Shepherdson, of course, we reserve our rights, as we've indicated already, with regard to the question of the inquiry. My understanding is that there would be two aspects to whether the board is functional or not. There's a technical aspect, which is can the board correct? And the quorum for a board is 9 members, both executive and non-executive members. And at present, there are 11 board members. That situation will continue for the next 3 months. As the notice periods of different board members expire, I also just want to place it on record that my resignation went in on the 21st of April to the president, and therefore it would expire on the 21st of July. There is currently a chairperson, she's stood down, but I am there as a deputy chairperson, so I act. And therefore, from a technical legal perspective, the board can function. It can correct, and although we've experienced some problems, as I said previously, I have been excluded. No notices were given to me by the company secretary, and so I wasn't aware, and I think that's where the problem came with Mr. Trikamji, an issue, but, you know, we've moved beyond that. There is a problem, though, which I'm not sure we can go into that. There's a problem that the board doesn't have sufficient support from management in the sense of logistical support. And that sometimes creates a problem, but it's not an insurmountable problem. So for the moment, the board can function. It can, a board meeting can be called, and approvals can be done. So from that point of view, technically, it is not dysfunctional. Clearly, it would be important for the committee to fill those vacancies that exist, and to take steps to do that as soon as possible.
Thank you, Chairperson. It was quite interesting, sir, to watch the facial expressions of some of the board members while Ms. Kunta was speaking. I've recognized a lot of things, and without words on the faces, I saw a lot of things, but I'm not going into that matter. You know what my question will be. I answered it for the first time. And, sir, in this instance, I haven't got any response from the board this morning. I wanted to get something out of the board. As we know, there are a lot of factions inside the board. I'm not going into detail. But I want to ask some of the executive members what their position are towards the board, and what problems the board was actually causing the executive, and sort of hampered the executive in fulfilling the tasks. That is my question, sir.
Members of the executive management. No, is Mr. Sitoli a member of the executive management? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I've really wanted to give the answer to this question since Mr. Vandenberg asked it on Tuesday. But I want to, on Thursday, I want to...
Member for order, Chair. Can I just explain?
Yes.
If we go into the technical definition of group executive members, they are members appointed by the board. Those are group executive members of the board or of the organization. Mr. Paul is not a group executive member of the SABC. He's a senior manager, or he's the head of the department of the division at the SABC. And if you follow that definition, then he is not a group executive member. He's an invitee who sits in group executive members.
Sorry, Chairperson, on a point of order. It doesn't matter if an executive member is answering this question. Senior management, who's running the company, I want answers. We mustn't get into that technical stuff now. If Mr. Sitoli has got a clear answer for this committee, then I think it will be fine. If you can rule it that way, sir.
Fine, and then if the person was formally on the board wishes to disagree or concur, let the person also explain it. Specifically.
Thank you, Chair. My position is head of group strategy and risk management at SABC. It is quite a senior position. I sit in the group executive committee of the SABC. I want to to preempt my response to the question by first reading you a very short memo. This memo was written by the group CEO at that time, Mr. Dalimbov. Just give me one second. Just a second. I had it. It's right here. Where is it? Yes, I've got it. It's a very important name. That's what I was thinking now, if I couldn't find it. It's written on the 18th of March to the chairperson of the board, Ms. Kanim Konza. 2008, sorry, yes. It says subject board exco communication relationship guidelines and road clarification. It says, dear chairperson, I raised the above matter with you at our first meeting on 10th January 2008 and at the board induction workshop on the 29th of January 2008 and also in my first board report for the board meeting which was held on the 6th of March 2008. Since then, this matter has been raised very sharply and unanimously by the group executive. There's a strong feeling that if we do not tackle the issue of road clarification at the earliest possible occasion, and while the board is still new, the organization will pay a very heavy price indeed. In addition, there are several recent developments which render the proposed engagement to be critical. I have been asked to please request that we urgently convene this board expo workshop in order that both sides may raise their concerns. This request is motivated by a feeling, on the one hand, that the relationship between these two structures is fast deteriorating in the 3 month lifespan of the board. This frustration is increasingly voiced from both sides. On the other hand, it is our collective view that a reiteration and clear articulation of the ground rules will result in a suitable and improved future working relationship for all concerned, the main beneficiary being the SABC itself. The possibility of starting the first full fiscal of this board on a positive new slate presents a great opportunity. The SABC is constantly under unjustified external attack. This is likely to continue and even intensify in the foreseeable future, especially as we move towards the 2009 election. It may be difficult to address this matter when there is an actual crisis on our hands. It therefore seems preferable to preemptively put all the issues and concerns on the table so that we may be better prepared to deal with the many crises which will inevitably be thrown our way by our several detractors. The SABC already presents a very stressful working environment, and as a leadership core, we have primary responsibility to decrease the stress level for all. I therefore humbly and most sincerely repeat my request in this regard, as I have been mandated to do so. I hope that this request will be received favorably and in the positive spirit in which it is intended. I thought that I should answer the question that Mr. Van den Berg asked, to say, where did it all start? So as you can see from the memo, that this issue was already raised on the 10th of January, which was 9 or 10 days after the board was appointed. And the group CEO at that time was actually acting at the request of the group executive, because we had seen that there were going to be quite a number of problems. I must also then state that our response, and in the manner in which you responded to a series of events that you may have seen happening last year, was not as a result because we are an ill-disciplined bunch of managers. There is even been mentioned here at the opening by some of the board members that some of the managers were destructive, and I'm going to ask this committee to go and check the attendance record of at least the so-called group of seven since the day that we asked for this board to actually to step down. That this management is actually can be most hardworking. Actually, I want to make an example. There is a village in Limpopo that is being used as a pilot for rural development. I want to volunteer that my department be made as an example and get an investigation to connect on my department to see how we have worked, and also maybe some of my colleagues also volunteer, so that we can see that our action has been fully on the basis that we thought from day one they never had anything to do with us. We have seen now that we can come to engage the board right now. We have been intending to engage. We have requested on numerous occasions to engage this board on strategy. I even have correspondence that I sent to the chair requesting a business planning session with the board 1st of July last year. I can tell that some of the board members never even saw that request. It never happened. But the board refused to engage us on the strategy. The only comment that first comment that we had about the strategy was in January, when we were presenting our budget presentation. When Mr. Kunta said, oh, finally, the work on Venema is actually bearing positive fruit, which was a year and 18 months later, because they had received the engagement. But we continue to do our work. And we sit here now, because we have foreseen that this was going to be a problem. But let me just close by saying that the fundamental problem that we had, and I'm answering the question that one of the honorable members raised, what did the board do when the group executive, if they were not performing? That was the reason why we took the action that we took. Because this board, hardly 3 months, this board had already done a diagnosis of this organization and never even communicated whether it was correct or whether it was not correct. What they wanted us to do if we were to correct the situation. And any board, and let me just say, we might be managers, I might be head of some division, as the chair is saying, or some minor division. I sit on some of board even bigger than the SABC, by the way. And I served the airport company as a board member from 1999 to 2007. Good record. I sit on one of the first line boards. I know how a board behaves, but not like this board. And I told this board in May that since I came to the SABC, my assessment of them, they were arrogant, rude, and disrespectful. They have never been committed to have a clear working relationship with this management. But I must say, though, there are some quite good members in this board. But that is for another day. But there are those board members who are determined to make sure that we are here today as we are here today. And I agree with Ms. Ndegi, the center doesn't hold. Whether within the board or within management, it doesn't hold. Whether they are correct or they are not correct, the center does not hold. And right now, we have to make decisions about the SEC on a day-to-day basis. We cannot, because there is no board. I was making a joke now. 30 seconds, I'm done. If we are out there now on an auction, at an auction for content, there is ETV, there's MNET, and there's SABC, and our guys are there, there's an auction, and they say 14 million, SABC raises its hand. They say 14.8 million, we raise our hand. They say 15 million and 1 cent. We will not be able to participate in that auction. But we will not have a board mandate to do that. And that board won't be there for us to actually participate in that auction. That is the crisis that we are facing as we speak right here. I want to say again, my department is up for investigation so that we can prove that we are actually hardworking and very smart managers, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I have the next? Is the man in Tumbela? In Tumbela, is the man in
Tumbela? Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, it pains us as executive members to sit here in front of yourself, in front of this August House, and in front of some of our colleagues in the industry, and have to say these things. We do not enjoy it. Let me start here, Chairperson. Part of my responsibility at the SABC is that one of the divisions that report to me are responsible for corporate communications. I know, as I sit here, that the information that I got from the board secretariat on the 1st of April was that Ms. Kunta had resigned with immediate effect. And my responsibility and the team in that division is to disseminate information to all staff members, keep them abreast with corporate information. And I'm sitting here for the whole day,
And you came to Miss Gunther trying to so hard to demonstrate that she is still a member of this board. The communication, and I would like her to dispute this, the communication was quite clear that she's resigning with immediate effect. For me, I think part of also the PFMA also demands that those of us who are senior managers in this public space, if we know that information is not correct and it's aired and we do not say anything about it, we are as liable as the people who are committing that transgression. The information that came to my division was quite clear. Ms. Kona had resigned with immediate effect. I'm asking myself, what is this thing that then almost the suggestion that you're going to sit here and be made to believe that that's not the case? When it is there, it is in writing. Chairperson, I'm referring to this because such is the difficulty that we have experienced since the beginning of the term of this board. The difficulty that you have experienced yourself as honorable members, that when you interact honestly and empty, all the time the goalposts will be changed. The information that has been shared with the committee is that some of the members were being disrespectful to the board. For the record, it is not correct, Chairperson. Part of the executive, the seven members of the executive, who stood up and said there are serious corporate governance transgressions that are happening, and the behavior of the board is such that they have undermined the strategy. We said it in the meeting with the board. We said it publicly when we couldn't get that engagement going. But each and every thing that we had to perform, we performed with excellence. And I would like to say before this committee, in many instances, it was the board that was undermining our authority. It, one of the divisions that report to me is the Human Capital Services. This board has made sure that one of the group executives who report to me, they go directly to even two levels below me to seek advice. I'm on the record as having written to the board to say, I worry about the quality of service that you get sometimes and the quality of advice, because it means I, as a person who has the authority and the responsibility to give that quality of advice, I'm not given the opportunity to do so. Let me have one incident, Chairperson. The one incident is that of the appointment of the COO. You will know I have appeared before this house as then the DDG at the Department of Communications. So, I am well aware of the processes that go on in there. Because I was deliberately excluded from that process, what happened? The late minister writes a letter and says, you have presented a candidate. I know the strength of the candidate in respect of sport. I do not know his strength in respect of other areas of corporation-wide management. Give me the information so that I'll be able to present the candidate to cabinet. What happened? The board advertises immediately for an appointment of the COO. I had the experience, the expertise, and the know-how to have advised the board had I not been undermined. What happened thereafter? That process, many court hearings later, was declared null and void. Millions of rand later, if I'm not mistaken, nearly 8 million of expenses, resulting directly as an action to undermine the corporate governance processes and authority in the board, which are put in place to be able to advise the board accordingly so that the board can exercise its fiduciary duty. The second one, the issue that arose last week around how did it come about that the bureaus overspent in the way they did. Secondly, the budget committee of the SABC at executive level composes of 6 senior executives. That budget committee, where the CFO sits, had said to the group executive of news, no, this one line, we don't have this kind of money. What did the very group executive do? They went directly to the board. We were lectured by the board, and one of the members of that board was Ms. Funza, who came to the table and said, we are tired of the group executive not wanting you to get on with what is their mandate. The board acted against the advice of the group executive committee in rolling out those bureaus. And where are we now? We are heading to close some of them after millions of rands later. Chairperson, I've spoken to some of the members of the board over lunch. I have said this and I would like to repeat it. The country, the citizens of this democracy do not deserve this. The board members themselves know. 2 or 3 High Court decisions later, having ruled to that effect, an independent body like Deloitte and Touche having said all those findings about corporate governance, collectively, they are not able to proceed with this task. This is not to say, as individuals, they have no integrity. It may well be, as is the case, that some of them were very busy with very important projects of national importance, like one of them runs the IEC. It's got nothing to do with individual integrities of board members. This is what it has to do with. Collectively, they've not been able to exercise that, and to some extent, they have quite willingly undermined some of the processes. Typically, we owe it to the citizens of this country to say these things, painful as it may be. It took me 1 year as the chief people officer to be able to get the ear of the board in terms of just presenting my strategy. 1 year, and that committee was not even called. It says something.
Thank you. I'll give you a chance, Mr. Thomas Sabali. Mr. Nkofu wants to speak up until 31st of December 2008 only. What is the date? Until then, thank you.
Yeah. And I won't give him greater time, so that I'll assist you. Sir Benson, I think actually Mr. Van der Berg's question, to be honest with you, is the only question that needs to be asked. And I think at the end of that question, if the committee is not able to assess the simple question of whether the board is able to exercise its fiduciary duties or not, then we have a serious problem. And that does not mean there are no other grounds upon which that fiduciary duty might not be able to be discussed. But my understanding, my simple understanding of the legal position, as it was expressed by Mr. DeLange, is that let us assume that there are 15 grounds upon which fiduciary duties are not being exercised. It does not matter. You only have to ask one of those 15 grounds. If the question says, is this board able to exercise its fiduciary duties, and the answer is no, on question number one, you don't have to do the other 14. Because this question is simple, and then you must be able to make your recommendation. The other issue is that this has nothing to do with health, as everyone has said before. I think your lawyer here is the most brilliant. She used the word objective. It's an objective test. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. We might all have little bits of responsibility. It doesn't matter. That's not what this inquiry is about. And I've even made this example at lunchtime. Let's assume the reason that all the board members for some reason contracted a deadly disease that makes them to be sitting in ICU. Not their fault. This committee would still have to ask the question, is the board able to exercise its fiduciary duty? And the answer, if the answer is no, simply because of this act of nature which has nothing to do with them, the committee is duty bound to recommend that the board must be dissolved. It's got nothing to do with their fault. But to come back to the question, the root of this problem is that this is, I think the most important thing is to understand that the SABC crisis is not a financial crisis. It's not an industrial relations crisis. Although those are important aspects of the crisis, the SABC crisis is a leadership crisis. The leadership, in this case the board, is incapable of taking that institution and exercising the functions that are put in the Broadcasting Act or in the Articles of Association. And as somebody said, it might be that individually they are capable, but as a collective, they are not. At the beginning of when this board came into power, I approached them and said, one of the key things, I don't want to go to what Mr. Stoller read out, one of the key things is to clarify this thing about interference and the role between the executive management on the one hand and the board management. I asked for this meeting so many times that I got blue in the face. The simple issue of just having a meeting so that we can say this is the role clarification so that there are no problems. Nothing. It was after the letter that Mr. Tolle spoke about, I wrote another letter, and I'll just read one paragraph. It says, it talks about, I've been asking for this meeting and so on. This is addressed to the chapter since 16 April 2008. And I say, the proposed meeting is intended to address the organizational, in this case this was about after the leakage of the memorandum, which is another story I don't want to get into, where clearly, from the board side, a memorandum written by the chairperson found itself into the Sunday Times. And two members of the board in that article commented anonymously, I mean, about management. That alone, at that stage, would have shown you that there was no way that a board can exercise its fiduciary duties. Because it said, look at her head with management. It doesn't matter who's right, whether it's the board or the management. The mere fact is that if a board cannot communicate with this management, it cannot exercise its fiduciary duties. I'll say here, the proposed meeting is intended to address the organizational crisis which has been precipitated by the existence, the leaking and consequent publication of a memorandum which, in the considered view of the group, contains too numerous factual inaccuracies and paints an incorrect picture of the state of the organization. And these events are likely to cause irreparable harm to the morale within the executive, other senior management and staff, not to mention external stakeholders and the public inside and outside South Africa. In the circumstances, members of the group executive deemed it as their professional and fiduciary duty to the SABC to take certain actions in order to avert or contain further escalation of the crisis. It is in this spirit that the meeting is requested. Then I deal with another matter, and I jump. I say, in view of all the aforesaid, and in the SABC and the wide citizenry's interest, in the citizenry that it serves, it is the view of the Group Executive Committee that, as the leadership of this important institution of our young democracy, it is incumbent upon the board and group to find solutions, to take whatever learnings we can salvage from this situation and to act in the best interest, not of ourselves as individuals, but in the public interest as we are professionally bound so to do, by virtue of having accepted our different offices in the SABC. This is another yearning and cry for simple things, somebody said, communication. Let's talk. I'm not saying what, I'm just saying there's a crisis, there's been a leak memorandum, let's talk. This, like all the other requests, was kicked out. Then we came here. This committee, there's been a lot of criticism of this committee. This committee did not just wake up one day and say, oh, well, because of Pulukwane or whatever. I don't care. Maybe they wanted to do it because of Pulukwane. But if they did want to do it because of Pulukwane, they were very much assisted by the board. Because the committee simply said, if there's a board that leaks memoranda about its own executive, we want to hear. And they called us here, and they listened to all of us. At the end of that engagement, they said, we don't have any confidence that this board can take the SADC forward. This was on the 29th of April, 2008. And I reiterate my statement that if that call had been heeded, we would not be in here. We would definitely not be here. And we would not have the crisis of the magnitude that we have now. And what we did as the executive was then to appeal to the powers that be, because the board is not appointed by us. And members of the executive took a courageous or suicide mission, as it were, to stand up and say, please, this board must step down. These are people who have families. Nobody can take a step like that lightly and say about the bosses who they report to, who say these people must step down. But they bravely said, in the interest of this organization, in the interest of this country, we have seen enough. This was by May, 5 months later. And we call on South Africa. They went and marched to the union buildings and gave a memorandum to President Mbeki to say, this board must go. And nobody was better placed than these people who work day in, day out with this board than them to be able to say whether this board was destroying the organization or not. But let's assume that also that was not to be listened to. In my case, and I don't want to get into my personal case, but everybody knows the matter of record that I was then suspended. And two courts now have said that the only reason that I was suspended was because this board acted precipitously and in anger because I had done what I'm entitled to do, which was to suspend a member of staff or the executive who had confessed and agreed that he had leaked information to external parties. And this board was able to meet within 2 or 3 hours of my action. And at 1:30:22, I hold the record. I don't think anybody else has ever been suspended at 2:22 in the morning. 1:30 in the morning, I was called in to go and be told that I am suspended. That's simply for doing my duty. And but the real point I'm getting into, because that's a matter for other processes, is that in the judgment, when I challenged that suspension, in that judgment, sir, the judge, who has no interest in the matter, doesn't even know where the SADC is, said the following, and I'm paraphrasing now, because I don't have the actual judgment. He said, having listened to both sides, to advocates from the board side and advocates from my side, he said, the conduct of Ms. Mkonza and other members of the board falls short, and there's nothing that can answer your inquiry more than this. The conduct of Ms. Mkonza and the rest of the members of the board falls short of the standard required for a director of a company, which calls for independence, honesty, integrity of such a person. And the judge then said, because of that, I'm going to order a punitive court order, so that they have to pay me a punitive court order. Now, for people who are not lawyers, they might not know what that means. What that means is that In a civil court, it's not a criminal court. It's not there to punish people. It's just there to determine the rights of people. But in very rare instances, in my 15 years of legal practice, I probably only got an award of a punitive order 2 or 3 times. It's a very rare occasion. It only happens when a judge wants to show the displeasure of how a party has conducted themselves. And the court said, I'm putting a punitive order against this board, because their conduct has been so flagrantly below the standard of what is required of a board member. This was the 19th of May 2008. 19th of May 2008. Once again, this was the third instance. If it had been listened to, it's the group executive, it's the portfolio committee, and now it's a judge. If those three things had been listened to, we would not be in this mess today. Last week, 2 weeks ago, to just to dump a whole lot of other things. Okay, sorry, before I do that, let me just read this. It's a short thing. It's paragraph 39 of the judgment in case number 13815 of 2008. That's what I say. The conduct of Nkonza falls short of a director who should act independently, without fear or favor, openly, with integrity and honesty. This conduct deserves a punitive court order. The board of directors acts as a collective. In this capacity, the board is as culpable as its chairperson. So this, as I say, that paragraph alone really should end this inquiry. Then followed, so that the board deemed it necessary to appeal against this judgment. Once again, using FABC money, and I remember very distinctly, one of the board members, Mr. Peter Vunza, who resigned, asked this question. It still rings in my ear. When the decision to appeal was made, he said, why, because he was against it. He said, if this was your money, would you appeal this judgment? And nobody answered that. Needless to say, this appeal was, they lost it last week, with three more judges reaffirming the words of Judge Duka and saying that the leadership qualities, this is now the judgment of another court. And here he says, which might also help your inquiry. Firstly, one of the judges goes on to show that he explains what the Constitution of South Africa is, because he says these board members don't seem to understand the Constitution or what is happening in the country. And he says, the fact in this matter indicates that the leadership qualities of Ms. Nkonza, as well as the other non-executive directors, were wanting. And then he goes on to explain why. This is Judge Mohammed Jagbari. Another judge, Mark Victor, goes into the details of what happened and also comes to the same conclusion. So what I'm saying here, Chairperson, is that then that appeal, now, what is the end result of that? It means that appeal was ill-considered. It was for self-interest, not for the purposes of advancing anything to do with the SABC. And the result that has happened is that the statements about the lack of integrity of the board have now been confirmed by three other judges instead of the one who had made them. And the cost that had to be paid to me on a punitive scale still have to be paid to me on a punitive scale, except now they have to pay me the cost of the appeal as well. Now, please, if we're talking about the public interest, this committee has to act now. It must not act in the interest of the executive, in the interest of Dalimpofu, in the interest of the committee, but in the interest of the public of South Africa. Not one more day can continue with this crisis. And if there might well be an opportunity of a judicial inquiry or disciplinary proceedings where people can bring their lawyers and we can look at the whole gamut of the problems at the SABC, this is not the occasion. Right now, the appeal is to rescue an institution that is sinking very fast, and an institution without which this country can do. And all that we're asking, Chair, is that, of course, the board members must be given their say as well. But there is no time to waste. And this institution is, there are workers, there are people who have children at school who are seeing their employer deteriorating in front of them. And they are sitting there watching and waiting to see whether this organization is going to be saved or not. And that cannot wait for another 6 months or 8 months. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Let's give them a chance to speak. Mr. Golding is first, and then is it Ms. Serobi and Alison.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I think I would in fact preface my input to this particular honourable committee by saying that the sentiment that has been echoed that whether the centre is holding or not, I think I agree that the centre is not holding for reasons that in fact I'll be able to elucidate. I think the previous speaker, Mr. Bofi, was correct to say that I think more than anything else, you would find that there were personal relations that in fact accumulated. Some of them, I would imagine, they were historical. Yeah? They were historical, and I think both management and I think, the board were able to dilute even some of the issues going forward. And I think we need to be able to speak frankly, and I'm going to do that today. Yeah? You find that some of the hard-working board members who are committed to this particular institution, some of the ways that would be, you find that it would either be undermined or not being executed. But the question would be, but where does this problem of financial crisis come from? When I should say to these members of this committee, I'm a banker by profession. I have my extensive experience in banking through credit, working for investment banks. So if you give me a balance sheet of a corporation, I will tell you whether it can function financial or not. I'll tell you right away. When I joined this particular corporation, all these members are here with me today. The first meeting I raised an issue and I said, this organization is in financial doldrums. First meeting I attended in 2007. It's on record. In 2008, I said this financial organization is in doldrums because what you saw a steep decline in profitability and huge upswing in terms of the cost. You just look at your balance sheet and income statement to just tell. This particular asymmetry, of course, in terms of this particular financial movement, presents a serious problem. If I were to quote an example, why I would quote this particular example is that despite all the hard work that in fact was put into this, we find that some of the decisions are not carrying through because of some of these historic cutting that I was talking about. You'd find that if you look at, in fact, at the financial analysis, the SABC was in trouble at that time. The audience share of the SABC financial year ending 2008 had declined to 64% from 72%. Huh? Those are facts. Secondly, while the revenue, in fact, was actually showing an upswing because it was a bull market, the actual profitability of the organization had taken a nosedive. Let me relate the numbers. If you look at the real profit, you can have the profit of the organization, then you strip off all the other things. Then you look at the real profit in real terms. If you look at the real profit at the year end, the year end March 2008, the profit of the corporation was at 45 million, down from 223 million the previous financial year. That in itself is indicative of the fact that this organization is in financial trouble. Furthermore, if you actually look at the cost factors, you would find that the cost factors were at a massive upswing. Personal cost, for an example, was in fact a huge determinant in this particular regard. Financial year end 2004, it stood at 769 million. But at the year end of 2008, it was at 1.35 billion. So you see this particular asymmetry. The profitability is going down at a rapid rate, but costs are going up at a rapid rate. That is the first observation I made at the first meeting of this particular corporation. And I said to myself, and I said to the letter to the shareholder when I resigned that, these are some of the issues that I've raised. And in the process of, in fact, trying to resolve this particular thing, you find that this particular frustration that one was getting in terms of you attending meetings, you say this particular thing must be done, but on the other hand, people are just ignoring that. That in itself, I found myself that it was in fact draining, my own expertise, my own skills, my own energy, to serve in the corporation. That's why I decided to say, in fact, I will actually, pull out in this particular instance. But lastly, in terms of figures, is that one of the things that in fact was driving this was also the professional services fees, that is the contractors and so on. It has in fact moved from 134 million to 227 in the year in the subsequent year. So what you're saying is that you find that you've got an organization that has lost the market share, the organization that is rapidly declining in profits in hundreds of numbers, costs are going up, you know, personal costs are going up, but also costs of external expertise are going up as well. Then the issue financial is, there is a financial asymmetry here. You, if you're using external skills, your internal cost must come down. So the point that I'm trying to make here is that there is a particular observation that one made right at the outset. And I said, this organization is going to go into trouble. And I'm happy to say that that particular instance, I think it was not because of other massive intervention that I think we have had, it would have, the situation would have been worse. I'm going to demonstrate, in fact, some of the things that, in fact, I think, we're able to do, because as an individual, and I mean other board members know that me, I hold no pass if I speak. Yeah? They know that, I mean my colleagues. Now, one of the things that was done was that some of the, we said, this situation is unattainable, and therefore, we need to see the budget. When we saw the budget, it was a deficit budget of over 300 million. We said, but there's no way you can do that. You can't do that. PFMA says no deficit budget, and it was rejected in total. Yeah? So rejected in total, and therefore we said this budget must actually be taken back and be revised. Yeah? The budget was revised. So on the other hand as well, we then said this organization does not even have a financial plan. It's true. It doesn't have a financial plan. You know? And I know that Mr. Roto was the one, in fact, who was very vocal around this particular issue. You know, because she was from the financial side, me, I've got expertise in credit and audit. So it was not even having a proper financial plan. So the point that I'm trying to submit is that even you saw a situation where within the financial management ambit, I would say to this particular committee today, the wheels were completely off. The wheels were completely off in the organization. You know? The wheels were completely off. What we did was that, in addition to, in fact, rejecting the deficit budget, but subsequently, as the numbers were showing to management to say, guys, you can't have this reducing. Subsequently, it demonstrates that that was not needed too, because when the numbers were showing post-ex facto, because now you are preparing for audit, and as a board, you cannot be there day to day, that particular call was rejected, because what, in fact, was the deficit budget then became, in fact, the excess in terms of the real numbers, now in terms of the expenditure. That is why, in fact, you saw that the personality issues that I think were there, whether harm or historical, some of, you know, the team that was actually supposed to implement this, particularly the escrow level, I think they didn't do that. I mean, they didn't actually act up to their play. I mean, that's my honest submission in this particular case. But we continue, and we said, in addition to that, we're going to have, in fact, an austerity measure, where we'll have actually a turnaround strategy. And I think that particular time, we had the acting CEO, and I even said, I will volunteer to assist in the turnaround plan. We ended up, we got working out on a framework, and the acting CEO took that particular framework, and they were able, in fact, to work out on some of the particular things. So the point that I'm trying to make, Chairperson, is that I think is that this particular kind of the lack of chemists and this, what I would say, people just deliberately ignoring some of the other things. In fact, put a strain, you know, on the organization itself, you know, put a lot of strain, that's why the organization is in financial trouble. But other people who speak about other factors as well, who are involved in the finance committee, the fact that one of the other biggest things that, in fact, put a strain in the organization, it's not only these particular costs, it was also the lack of prudential financial management, where people in the SABC would just write contracts without, would enter into commitments without contracts. And we have to stem that the top of this committee says, if it continues, we will take disciplinary action against those particular people. And number two, as part of the authority plan, we said, if anybody goes over budget, we'll take disciplinary action against them. I think members of the board, it's on record that, in fact, I've been able to indicate that. But some of the other factors of call, it was wastage that is there in the corporation, the inefficiencies that are there, the loss of rights that I think as an organization, because of a revenue base, whether it's a PSL, whether it is rugby or cricket, those are impacting, in fact, on the, I mean, to your cash flow. So the point that I'm trying to make is that I think this issue about the financial problem It was there coming. I mean, it was there. But measures were put into place. I think it could have been worse if it was not the case. My last submission, sir, is that, of course, there was a strategy that the organization, in fact, had inherited. And we began to question this particular strategy to say, those were agreed by the previous board. I think that this particular board will then allow it to evolve, and ultimately then we'll actually be able to deal with the concrete strategy in the subsequent financial year, you know, which we did that, in fact, in the beginning of 2009, because that is the year that I think this particular board was able to have its own strategy. And we're able to infuse, you know, some of the Gemini report stuff. We're able to introduce the risk measures to say, what are the 20 risks that the organization is facing, you know, to ensure that I think we've got proper measures, audit and risk measures that have been put into place. So the issue as to whether the fiduciary duty has been carried, I will never, I will have no fear or doubt to say that I think this particular board, except the other present issues that were there, it actually acted fully on its fiduciary duties, particularly on the financial aspect, which I've got more expertise on. And I think going forward, Chair, if you were to ask me, is that I think in fact, I've been able to submit that I think the center is not holding. You know, I mean, the center is not holding. And I think it is important that I think a new measure is being introduced to reinvigorate the organization. But in doing that, it must actually be able to ensure that, one, you know, there needs to be an aggressive implementation of the turnaround plan, which will generally include other related departments. There must, in fact, be an immediate reduction of the staff excess, which is there in this particular corporation, which I think we have spoken about. And I think there's a process towards that. But also, I think there needs to be a situation where the organization adheres strongly onto a corporate governance rules. Because the SABC, to my surprise, I discovered people who read financial reports. Years after year, 2004, you find that every time there'll be a PFMA, I'm in abrogation. But we'll try to reduce that. But my biggest inside concern as well, Chair, is that as I'm being known myself, that I speak without any bias, you know, I do that. One of the biggest problems that the corporation faces is conflicted staff members in the organization. People who are working for SABC, who are conflicted in the SABC, who are raising the resources of the organization. And I'm the top audit, and we know those particular individuals, we've acted against many of them. Yeah? You know, they are very conflicted, they work for the organization, some are senior, some are junior. They are there in the corporation, and it's not fair for the corporation. And if we talk about the best interest, I think collectively, the board, the management, need to be able to concentrate this particular, because we know some of them. Yeah? You know, we know some of them. So the point I'm trying to make here is that I think in addition to that, we need to be able to move away to the culture of accountability, which I think is very important. Culture of accountability, and I think we need to strengthen, in all fairness, the financial management of the SABC, because as I said, the wheels are completely off. Yeah? I know there's a tribe, you know, to in fact to strengthen that. And lastly, of course, is the issue of the new financial model that I think needs to be introduced. And I think we need to be able, without haste, to admit that I think a new invigorated structure needs to be able to take over and run its activities. At this particular stage, you know, I think that a new body which can reinvigorate this thing and ensure that there's accountability needs actually to take over. Thank you very much, sir.
Listen, thank you very much. Mr. Logan. What has been done? Things seem to be moving forward now. Thank you, Mr. Logan.
Mr. Chairman, as is understood, we came here in January 2008 as non-executive. We have to stress non-executive. There's a big emphasis here on how big a part we are on the liquidity crunch and cash crisis and so on. We have to stress that. Because of the history of SABC, which is public information, it is a company in trouble anyway. And its public mandate is growing, its funding requirements are growing, and there's a limit to what support gets from either government or somewhere else. As a result of that, the big challenge I saw was how well the audit committee functions and how well the finance committee functions if the company is in that kind of situation. So those are the two committees I joined. Desmond being the chairman of the audit committee, myself being the chairman of the finance committee. I've never been a bookkeeper in my life. I quickly went beyond that. The first experience being the chairman of the finance committee was the presentation of the budget in March at this board. It had a 600 million rand loss, March 2008. And I must stress here that I've been a finance director of Transnet for 5 years, and therefore a loss budget is acceptable if that is where the company is located. While we were mortified, though, by this presentation, was that you had a 600 million rand loss budget with no funding plan attached to it. Because if you have a 600 million rand loss, you are using somebody else's money to implement. So that funding plan, extremely, extremely critical. The second problem with that budget was that it was cash flow negative. Simply, it means you are paying more than you have. So you need a cash flow plan next to that, which was not there. And the third one was the revenue growth assumptions of 16% in an environment where you had 6 to 10% growth generally. And because of this treating, the board was not in a position to accept this budget, and it rejected it formally. And what it did, however, and completely opposite of, I think, people's experience is, the board said we will work with management to produce a better budget, even though we are new, and the way we're going to do it, each division, each department must look at itself and talk at those things it can or it cannot do. And we will then aggregate this. And so the end of it, which is was now a combination of non-executive and the executive, we ended up with a budget of 200 and something million rand profit. What it means, we had taken some of those things which were luxury, and we had taken back something which we have to do them. We then also said we will give management 2 months, we will review this in May 2009, which is exactly what we did. Together with that review, we also looked at where is the company in that 3 months, because it's April, May, and going to June. That's the first part of how we dealt with a budget which was a 600 million rand loss, and we thought we had concluded very well. And so in the system, the budget you got has a profit of 200 and something million rand. Fourth quarter, it came out that actually we are confronting a 1 billion rand loss. And all our fears, which we anticipated in June, had formulated themselves in that fourth quarter. But most important, we did come to this committee in November with this forecast. We did show this anxiety about this forecast. And we thought if we do that, we will have some kind of meaningful engagement as to where do we go, or at least how not to surprise the committee. We did that in November. She said to me to say, the last thing this committee wanted to hear was that there was an excitement about the amendment of the Act, which was the following day, and we ended up not engaging in this particular report. That is factual.
how did the board respond anyway? Because there is an assumption that because of all this noise around this board, the board is not responding to these things. Let me say how the board responded. Firstly, in looking at that possible loss, what jumped out of the report was that the employee costs are going to go up by 70% from the previous year. Of course, we could not even drink coffee after that. And we went through with the executives to say, let's unpack this 70%. It's rather very large to have this kind of an increase. 2 months later, they actually did work at the figures and said, no, it's not 70%. At least it is 56%. Coming from 70%, that's a relief. Fact of the matter is, a 36% in employee costs is inappropriate. And that's where we are today. The second thing next to those employee costs, because we are now unpacking as a non-executive board as to what else is sitting there on the headcount. In that meeting, it showed we had hired 563 people in 1 year. Now just to give the scale of that, 563 people is a one huge company. And so to have hired that kind of number, it almost means like SABC opened another company. On this side, we couldn't see how you can have that kind of inflow of people in 12 months. Again, when we look at that, executives came back and say, sorry, we made a mistake. It is now 348 people. And of course, we relieved. It is not 563. It is 348. That's to 248, so there's another 100 gone. Chairman 248 anywhere in the world for a company in trouble is absolutely outrageous. And the third thing was, then let's look at the austerity plan. That too is doing it with management, not in an autocratic way as the board. Then we look at the other things, still in the employee cost. And this is now at the same time that we have a problem with the producers who are not paid. And that too was quite a scary thing for us. In looking at that, we actually found, and no executive understood where this came from, that while we're struggling to pay producers this side, we are paying additional contribution to the pension fund of 75 million rand. That's a worldwide phenomenon. What that means is what the company normally should do is to pay a certain amount by law. Everything else above that is a luxury of a company that can afford. So typically that, what we were doing was to take 75 million rand, park it in a pension fund, which has a huge surplus, and postpone the payment of this producer. Rent for rent, that's exactly what we were doing. And that kind of thing, I must say, Chairman, as soon as it came out on the 4th of July, the board stopped that. It did not need to go anywhere. Hopefully, end of June, that kind of thing, 4th of June. And I have to say that 4th of June we had a formal board meeting with a quorum. We are not in a position to make these decisions without a quorum. So this whole dysfunctionality thing is a matter for another time. We also went to these contracts, foreign contracts, local contracts, to reschedule, rearrange, renegotiate as part of dealing with the problem. And I think lastly, as a chairman of the audit committee, speaking about the loss of revenue on the sports arrangement, the estimates range from 300 to 500 million rands. I don't know exactly. Chairman, the point of the matter is, we are done, as in, we are not without control of what is happening in SABC. What we are not in control of is who resigns and who replaces the resignation and make the Quran. The result of that is practically end of September, we don't have a Quran. And so to the best of our abilities, we cannot perform these simple duties we're talking about, including the TSMA and our fiduciary things and the shareholder compact. Short of this committee doing one or the other thing, which is either replacing the people resigning or doing what has been making a board. And I think, Chairman, I think that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Kumar.
I think I hear that we are talking, Chairperson, about the honorable members about the center not holding. And I think that the falcon indeed cannot hear the falcon, to use the words of it. And I'm saying that for one reason and one reason only, because I think that my colleagues here have explained, I think, to a very large extent, the tragedy that's unfolding, I think, in front of our naked eyes. And I really think that when I came for the interviews in this board, not the previous committee, I use an example of a Shakespearean tragedy. You know, a Shakespearean tragedy, you have got people who are honorable and who have attributes that are very good amongst them as individuals. But I think that it talks more about a flaw of character of the individual's consent. And that flaw of character makes them to commit a serious mistake that ultimately destroys them. And I think that not only are we having to deal with Yeats, I think we have to deal with Shakespeare here, Chairperson. And I'm saying that for a whole range of reasons. And I think that if one can ask us about whether or not, collectively as a board, we have engaged our fiduciary responsibilities as best we can, and I would submit to this committee that we have done exactly that. And I think that everything that was expected of us by way of taking financial decisions, I mean, the issue that Desmond and Gloria are raising around profitability and how the SABC finances looked when we came in March, some of us may not have finance backgrounds, but we understand finances extremely well. And it was very clear to us in March last year already, Jefferson, that clearly this organization cannot be sustainable going forward. And therefore, the issue of profitability is in decline. The cost drivers were going higher, they're going out of the way, and it was therefore clear to us that we needed to arrest those biggest cost drivers. And that is why in the various meetings, in fact, the plethora of meetings we have had in the board, we have looked at two biggest cost drivers, needs and current affairs. And that is why there's been a lot of debate that the Chairperson of Finance has alluded to. And I think insofar as that is concerned, I really want to say that I think we've done the best we could. See, one of the things that we did, if you look at the relevant legislation governing companies like the SABC, the issue of risk management, and Professor Gill was here, thanks to her, Chairperson of the Risk Committee, we identified the 20 top risks, and we worked very well with CIPO in developing those particular risks. So I think that from that dashboard, and we insist in all our meetings, we've got to look at those 20 top risks in the company, and we're doing precisely that. Just one last thing I want to raise as well is that before I conclude, and I want to say a few things before I conclude. You see, this issue, for instance, of when it was brought to our attention that we were 800 million rands or so in the red, I remember very well we sat for several hours that day discussing this financial issue. And we then said, let's go out and address the nation on our own volition, no compulsion whatsoever. We went out there and said to the country, look, we're having a cash flow situation, we've got challenges of working capital, and so on, and we're having this kind of deficit. At the time, we're projecting 746 million, I think, Desmond, if I remember very well. Because you can't hide those things. You've got, not only do you have what I would call a personal reputation to deal with, you also have got issues to deal with as a director in terms of your fiduciary responsibilities. That's the other issue that I want to raise, and that's why I started on this note about tragedies and about, you know, I want to say that, and I'm saying this to my colleagues, and some of them I know won't agree with me in saying this, but I want to make my point because I'm speaking purely in my individual capacity here. This issue of the fight with the former GCEO did not help matters.
That fight, in my opinion, should not have happened. In fact, I wrote a letter to Kanye. Kanye knows about that letter I wrote. It's a private letter I wrote to her. But the one of the things I read quite strongly there, and I want to repeat it to this meeting today, I don't think that the former GCO was treated fairly by us in this board. You see, the issue, this is listening to Pumelele and Zimande and Sipo and others, the so-called group of seven, and I've been very clear on this matter. I said it even at the time. I even joked and I said, you know, we're doing exactly what Mikhail Gorbachev did with Glasnost and Perestroika. You open up the process, it overwhelms you. Truth of the matter is, nobody can run any organization as huge as the SABC without the cooperation of management. All you need, the least of your worries, should be fights with management. And at the time, I said it to the colleagues, and I said, you know, we could be putting the guy on 10 if we're not happy with his performance. Performance manages the guy. Rather than fire the guy, and so on. And then, of course, the board took a particular decision. But I really think, honestly, that for me, part of a whole load of measures that that have got to be put in place in fixing the SABC relates to, we need to work at this relation. You know, they're like Mary, you've got to work at it. And repeatedly work at it. And the more conflict there is, the more your ability as a director and as a manager to manage conflict at home must translate to work. You've got to manage it. So I think for me, the issue around around that fight, it took a lot of our time. It was unnecessary. And I still say it here, it's unnecessary. And that is why I have said it to so many times to people that I think part of the things that the shareholder and I suppose the portfolio committee and everybody else here must do is to try and look at this matter and revisit it at the appropriate time. And I think particular decisions, Chairperson, will have to be taken. And I really hope that, you know, management will have to come to the party, and I suppose that the fired or dismissed CEO will be reinstated. Because I think that's in the best interest of SABC to do so. What happens of him afterwards is another matter, and I know it's not a matter for this court to sort out. The other issue I want to raise, and I want to go back to the issues I was raising with the Kanye, not with the story, is the issue of cost drivers. If you're running an organization like SABC, you need to say, where are your biggest cost drivers and how do you bring them down? I mean, we had a consultant who came to speak to us, Richard Pike, CEO of one of the companies in South Africa the other day. Spent almost an hour or two in the board, in the last meeting, talking to us about how you do a turnaround. I mean, Transnet, I see, in 2007, they were in the red by 883 million rand. And now they're going to report an operating profit of 1 billion rand. So it is doable if you've got the will, if you've got the capacity to do it, if you've got the right team that can work together as a team to achieve those objectives. And I think that, for me, that's one of the things. The issue of the Chairperson, the SABC's operating model, I think we must revisit it. It's Jeff Bampo and a favorite subject. The issue of the operating model, I think the SABC must be more aggressive, it must be restructured, and I think that it must then be able to discharge its responsibilities in way of public broad, PCS and PBS, and I really would like to see a more aggressive commercial side of the SABC. This thing of running it like an old-style parasita, I think it's not going to work. I think the operating model has got to change. It's even worse in the current conflagration in the world market, because you clearly cannot have the kind of cash you have by way of advertising that we've been having. And I really think that this issue, people are not going to treat this issue of financing and the financial model of the SABC and how we capitalize it. I can assure you, colleagues, this crack is going to go from head to head. Advertising is vital. Advertisers go away at the first sign of any disorder. And that is why I think the stability of the SABC must happen and happen now, not tomorrow. For instance, the issue of us who have resigned, the issue of the interim board must be put in place as soon as it is practically possible. So that this interim board can ensure that it puts the organization back on track. And I want to say and end by saying the following. I think, as this interim board comes into being, this SABC is stabilized for, you know, whatever way it is being stabilized. Management, support and cooperation is important. You see, I always tell people, and I tell people, and I will write this in my book, which will be published in 2 years' time. One of the things I've been saying to people is this, Chairperson. I've been saying to them, you know, if you think you're going to run the SABC by fighting the state, you know, they run the SABC by fighting the state. In all its elements, whether it's parliament, whether it's, you can't. The SABC, by its very nature, requires an independent, objective, directors, an organization, running renewals independently and professionally, but you ensure that you cooperate with the state. You can't fight against the state. And so whoever thinks sitting here, either as directors or as non-directors or whatever you call ourselves, thinking that you can fight against the might of the state, are making a mistake. All you have to do is to guard the independence of the SABC, ensure its commercial viability of the SABC. And that, I think, for me, are crucial issues. And maybe lastly, have management support in anything we do. And I think, perhaps, and I agree with my colleague Desmond and Gloria, I think on the other scores, in terms of judiciary responsibilities, we've carried them out to the best of our ability. Where I think we add, with a bit of hindsight now, you know, they always say, hindsight is the best, I'm just forgetting it, but hindsight is the best teacher here. This fight with management should not have happened. We wouldn't be sitting here today.
Thank you very much. Alison, did you want to come in? No? Advocate Clarkula.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Now that my name was mentioned, I feel that I should say something. I dread the day that I accepted to serve on this board, I must tell you. When I was approached to serve on this board, I thought I was bringing two things. One, making a contribution towards functioning in an independent institution, because that's where I come from. With the IEC, you have to walk a very thin line, and if you falter, the country can go on fire. Examples are abound in Kenya and elsewhere. So that's what I thought I was doing. The second thing that probably people do not know, what I was also doing, is that I'm the special rapporteur on freedom of expression and access to information in Africa. And one of my areas of specialty is transformation of state broadcasters to public service broadcasters, and what constitutes a public service broadcaster. And I thought that I was bringing that contribution because I thought that as a country, especially if we compare us to what is happening on the continent, that we had actually a shining example of what a truly public broadcaster should be. And the whole continent was looking upon us to say, what lessons can we learn from South Africa? But let me tell you, I never had an opportunity to do that, because I got into an organization that was just riddled with a lot of, problems, and some of us came in, I'm sure these problems were historical, I must say to you, because they've been there before us. And going forward, I think what I need to put on record is that political interference, and we have to say it because if we have to clean up this and learn lessons from it, we have to learn lessons and say we will not repeat those lessons. To say, let a public broadcaster remain a public broadcaster. Let Parliament exercise its oversight responsibility. Because the truth of the matter is that one thing that weakened this board is that we're sitting, trying very hard under very difficult circumstances to discharge our fiduciary responsibility. Every time we went back, everybody was campaigning to get us removed, and we're looking, over our shoulders. It was the most difficult period in my life, I tell you. That you inherit an ailing organization financially, and then you have this threat that you have to go. Everybody is campaigning. You go into a meeting of the board, and the truth has to be told. And we are not perfect. We have made mistakes as the board, and management has made serious mistakes. And we have to accept that going forward, in terms of the relationship and so forth. If we had handled it differently, because now, management, from my own view, was sitting and saying, this board is lame duck. They are out of here. So whatever you say, whatever you do, and also with some of us have robust personalities and things, these came into the port, and that's where we ended up, where we are. But I would like to say on behalf of my colleagues that as for our fiduciary responsibilities, well, there are these governance thing about roles and responsibilities. Those are not, those things you work at, you cannot even have a book on that. There are, of course, corporate governance standards, yes. But in most cases, issues of roles and responsibilities and such, something that you have to work on. And it also depends to some extent on personalities. And I thought I should say that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. It's 3:30. I've had one hand and I'm delay. All right, can we make this as the last 3 contributions and then we will have to adjourn?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah.
Okay. So, Mr. Nicholson wants to come in. All right, can we agree with 4 contributions, but please be mindful of the time. Eh?
Okay, thank you, Chair. I was actually going to ask you to also give Mr. Nicholson an opportunity to say something. I think some of the issues, especially mentioned by Mr. Golding, needs to be put into context. I take it as a new board member, you just don't look at the balance sheet only without a context. That is very important. It is true she raised these issues at the first board meeting from an annual report, but there's an important issue. You know, you have to understand the context. We usually joke with Robin about how long it has to take people to understand the business of the SABC and its funding and finances. I support, and I think some of the other group executive members and board members have mentioned this, and committee members have mentioned this. So for this matter to be understood properly, I think it is the fact that we need an independent forensic study. It will not help for us to sit around here and start saying, you know, this is the issue as I saw the balance sheet when I got into the SABC. You have to have context. That's number one. The issue of the declining profitability. I think the management of the SABC, even with the previous board, is on record as having come to this committee to say, this is what we are seeing. Hence, in 2006, under the leadership of Advocate Mpope, the organization embarked on a strategy process. All these issues that I mentioned here about the funding gap and how much, you know, the SABC was going to be losing, those projections were there before this board was appointed. We even had a whole process on how that was going to be implemented. Unfortunately, there was a disruption in terms of implementing the strategy process. The issue of the deficit budget, Chair, I was part of that team that presented that budget. And I'm not saying this to defend myself. The 2 main issues which had resulted in that deficit was DTT. And the second one was News International. Those are the costs that are outside our control, just like the mandate of the SABC, which has been impacting on the expenditure of the organization. I am mentioning these things, Chair, because I know there are people from the media, external media, who could go out and interpret these things like they have been said here. We need to give context into these things. Let's go and check at what was happening to, one, the mandate in terms of our local content, and how much that cost the organization. You couldn't just increase the mandate, of course, without increasing your employee cost. You couldn't embark on the whole process of establishing bureaus without increasing your staff component and at a huge cost. So all these issues need context here. I don't think sitting here and listening to individuals trying to articulate them could actually help us. I think there has to be quite an independent study. Let it not be management coming here to defend ourselves or other people trying to show how they've been doing their work. Let there be an independent study of what is really happening to give context to the issues. And I think, you know, I wanted to ask you after saying this, to allow Robin also to contribute to especially what Mr. Golding has said.
Yeah, okay. No, when I was here on Tuesday, I got quite upset about a couple of allegations made about the SEC. To my fellow board members, it has been a brutal year, I'm sure. And there are many reasons for it. And in some ways, I have a great deal of empathy with you and a great deal of sympathy with you. But another nice thing about finance is it's written. There's a record of everything. Of when we say and what we say and how we say and what we propose. This is correct, Gloria. There was no funding plan with the budget.
But the budget forms part of the NCS process where we go and request funding. But let's leave that as it may. I think the, you know, this board got a motor car that was rusting and its wheels were wobbling. And then we drove it off the cliff. As a board and as management, I won't think for myself, I don't think for anyone else. That's why I said, you know, it's time we spoke as I speak, from my heart and against my best interests. The SABC must be fixed, and it can be fixed. I think we both cited a lot of things. In the funding plan that we presented to the board, there was also the so-called strategic projects. And when we unpack these results, you will see that it is a strategic project that never really came to fruition. Because quite frankly, we were all running around hitting each other mad. And we lost focus as the SABC on doing what we're supposed to do. Numbers, you know, I believe it, numbers don't lie. If you've lost 800 million rand, there's a problem. Let's not beat about the bush. That's not to say the problem can't be fixed. But the truth of the matter is, if this country wants a public service broadcaster with the ambitions that were put to it by its citizens in 2003, when we formulated the editorial policy, it needs a lot more funding than it's got. It also needs a lot more efficiency and a lot better management and a lot better governance than it gets. I would challenge that we put together and we presented both to management and the board a series of presentations from July last year where we indicated there were problems. There's a document on the 22nd of September where we actually start formulating a responsive strategy, and that part was, that was partly led by Gloria in trying to get the diagnosis right. That went to a breakthrough with management in Foxwood, and in that document we start saying there's a real risk to our performance this year is the non-delivery of the strategic project. And that document went to the board on the 1st of December after the workshop of management at Foxwood in November. There is an audit trail and we can track when and what happened. On the issue around forensic audits, you know, Desmond, I'm going to say this, because this has been something that I have lived with at the SABC. If there is a process that has been abused badly and with shocking consequences for individuals, it has been the process of forensic audits at the SABC. You know? I sit with my professional reputation, so I walk in to see people every day that I know for 20 or 30 years, and they say, what is this forensic investigation to you, Rob? And you know what it is? It's quite simple. There was a board resolution part of the finance subcommittee that didn't go to the board. And the people sitting on the audit committee in judgment of me were the same people in the finance subcommittee. That's wrong. Plain and simple, wrong. And the first day this board walked in, you were inducted into that investigation into me. And it's hung over my head ever since. Now, if you prepare to do that to senior executives, how much more so has that been abused across this organization into turning the turn in the organization? And it is a turning, because those allegations never go away. And even today, you can run and look at the presentation from the Maru and the rest of the unions. It's just another attempt to re-instigate this instability in the organization, to allegations of people driving a motor car, 600,000 rand in fuel card expenses and those kinds of things. You know, let's just keep on this whole internal distrust in the organization. Let's keep it going. Because it suits other people's purposes. It does not suit the public broadcaster. So I don't know about many things, but I do know this. Unless we clean up the way and the approach we have to a number of things, and we start getting really a team build, a team relationship between the senior management and the future boards, which is based on mutual trust and transparency, and is not predicated with the belief that the SABC senior executives are filled with self-serving individuals or people trying to line their own pockets. This is a bloody hard job with, that is damn thankless. You know, to get accusations on a daily basis that you're a bunch of crooks doesn't build relationships. Yes, there are people at the SABC who have done wrong, and they should go to jail. I'll be the first person to support that. I know what some of those whistleblowing things resulted for my own family. No. Andy Lee, let's not even go there. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm not going to cry, my friend. I'm bloody angry at this man. And let's not mislead each other.
Okay, Ms. Angela and Becky.
So, I'm
concerned about time.
Okay,
I'll keep it. So, I'm going to allow Angela as
I'll keep it very short.
I've got hands on that side also.
Yeah.
Okay, Angela, Kandi, and then I want to close.
Shabatin, I'm going to speak as a youth activist. I'm not a young person, I'm a youth activist, not a young
former youth activist.
I am a youth activist. I'm going to speak as a youth activist on behalf of young people of this country. We, the likes of Honorable Kolani, the likes of Honorable Malamela, we would like to see one day that in this country of ours, South Africa, that the organs of the state, like the SADC, are protected, and when we get to the ages and stages of you, Shepherdson, and the likes of Honorable Jilange, we can be proud of the institutions that we have inherited as a country. I think today you have had a lot as a portfolio committee, and now the there is a room on the basis of the assessment that has been made before yourselves to actually arrive at a decision in the best interest of the country. One of the appeals I'm going to make, particularly to the members of this House, I'm one of those very few people with institutional memories when it comes to this organization, SABC. I have worked for 4 years on the radio side of SABC. I have worked for 2 years on the television side of SABC. I have served in the previous board. I'm continuing on a personal capacity to invest in my own development in the ICT media space, particularly broadcasting. For the record, I'm doing a third master's degree now in service focus on ICT. And this is the investment and the commitment which some of us are actually doing for this country with a view of making a contribution to make sure that we steer this ship towards the right direction. The appeal I would like to make to the members of this House. We have had previously an experience where, and this talks to the issues of the acting CEO, the financial model of SABC. We had a situation where we have come by invitation to this House to present substantive issues. And instead of members of this House paying particular attention to those things, we would arrive here having them already have a list of questions pre-prepared way out of what we have come to present. And as most of the issues which have actually been raised now are not new, members of this House actually should be ashamed of themselves to say that you have not taken full responsibility of our presentations at different intervals to try and caution that we are heading towards this direction. Secondly, General, I would like to say, a colleague, that we as a board and also as management have had minor errors, mistakes here and there. But most of these issues were not based on performance or understanding or governance and anything. We're much more on technology issues. Going forward, could you please lead and rule by example? By way of example, we have taken about 8 hours today, close to 8 hours today. And from an exemplary point, the issues which were put before us as a basis for this meeting to have taken place I came here ready to say that this meeting was going to take 10 minutes as a maximum. We could have long finished with this meeting had we stuck to the issues that were before us. And I would like to make this appeal as we go forward to say, let us please apply our minds and be consistent with the issues that we're dealing with. As ordinary South Africans, we are committed to make SABC work. One of the reasons I have personally resigned is not because I could not or I failed to discharge my duties, but I have looked at the myriad of activities around, and I said it is in the best interest of the country that perhaps there is a need to overhaul this organization, and perhaps people with a new level of confidence that could be given unto them and the mandate could come on board. And if that could happen, this organization will turn around. I thank you.
Chair, my turn?
Yes.
Thank you. Chair, I really do want to start on a personal note to say I actually sit here and consider myself one of the most fortunate people in this country right now. And I say that, and people may not understand what I'm saying, but I say that confidently because maybe I'm the only person who is a leader who is given feedback. Many leaders never get feedback, whether they suck or they don't. Nobody ever gets told that, in actual fact, you suck as a leader, you know. So I consider myself very lucky that I have had that feedback. So, and I take that feedback very seriously. And it's something that I look at every day. But the one thing that people cannot force me on is on telling the truth. I speak the truth. I speak my truth, whether you agree with my truth or you don't. And the truth that I want to talk about is some of the issues that we referred to about communication. That people should go even further to say, yes, there were requests for communication for meetings, and there was a response. And when people did not agree with the response, they chose an opposite truth. So that is on record as well. If they have memos on record, I also have minutes on record. So it's just the truth. I think we should go further to speak the whole truth and nothing else. And the other truth that I want to talk about today is that we sit here, I don't know how many months, maybe 18 months down the line, and we are not saying the things that we should be saying. This board never had a chance. This board never had a chance from the time of its inception. We never had a chance in front of the committee that we faced here in March last year, and nobody has ever, ever spoken up about it. We walked out of here. Everybody was. I mean, there were times when you were addressing meetings and you were wondering who else is going to stand up in this meeting and call for you to resign. And there is no basis for this. The committee that we presented to last year in March, 2008, was never even interested in listening to a deeper issues about the SAPC that we came to present. We came here, there was a list of questions that had nothing to do with SAPC. And this is why I'm saying this board never had a chance. It never had a chance, even though I sucked, I do agree that I sucked as a leader, but even when we went back, there was never a chance given by management to support and to at least subject themselves to the authority of this board. And this is why we are here. And I'm just trying to respond to the question, how did you get here? We, all of us as a country, should really take that responsibility. I take responsibility for my weak leadership skills, like, I guess, whichever way people describe them. But I am saying, due to the really the political climate of this country, this board never had a chance, and that's what we need to be talking about. So are we going to appoint another board and give it a chance? For me, this is the reason why I've been resigned. Because every time, from the time that the board was announced in December 2007, the very next day, it was this board must step down. There was no reason even at that time. The people attempted to say the reason is this political grouping or that political grouping. We belong to no political groupings at that time or even now. It really doesn't matter. We agreed to serve on this board because we care about the country. But right now, we're sitting here, we are being questioned whether we care for the SAPC, for this country, or for anything, whatever. But nobody is saying, from the time that this board was announced, we were treated like fifth-class citizens of this country. We've never been treated as if we are people who are really committed to building this country. And I wanted to talk about the cost factor.
And really, it's just to add to what my colleagues have said. The other issues are really political, and we should not ignore that because it's going to happen again. It may succeed if the SAPC will all resign eventually, or another board will be appointed. It really doesn't matter. If it's going to happen to another public institution, then where are we going as a country? That's the bottom line that we should be addressing. And we're sitting here as if the real issues are not those issues, those are the issues. But the cost issues of the SAPC. SAPC is a content organization. And the way content is purchased at the SAPC is a big, big issue that this committee needs to address going forward. And whatever board takes over needs to address it. When we came here last year, one of the issues that was key on everybody's mind was the PSL rights, the soccer rights issue. And subsequent to that, and I'm sure we lost the soccer rights, we lost the rugby rights, we lost cricket, but we lost every form of rights. And I need protection check, because I hear responses behind me.
No, no, you are protected.
Okay, thank you. I'm just saying, the issue of the sports rights, it's a key. We spend millions on soccer rights. We spend millions. And I was hoping that Robin or Jeff will talk about the issue of rights, or even Charlotte. That the issue of rights and the contestation over rights is a big issue for the public broadcaster. And that's a discussion that we need to have or as SABC or as a country, that what rights are purchased for the SABC need to be considered, and there need to be policies around those things, so that people do not then go out to just cherry pick and decide whether they like the Spanish League or the Euro League, whatever leagues there are. There should be at least governance issues around those issues. If we do that, then we are able to protect the SAPC. Just on the cost factor, because nobody spoke about the issue of rights that is crippling the SAPC right now. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, no, hold on. We are not going to finish everything today. It's quite clear. So I want to suggest that we try and determine what is the next step, rather than taking the additional hands. I think we've given a fair number of members of the board an opportunity to express themselves, and some very candidly, which we appreciate. Can I suggest that the committee reconvene tomorrow morning at, 9 o'clock? 9 o'clock? Yes, I think we... 10 o'clock? 10 o'clock? Okay. You see, we've got Mr. Harry Matabati from the Department of Communications. He was invited also last week to do a presentation to give us a perspective from the department as well, as a shareholder, as the administrative arm of the shareholder, as to what are the problems there and their view on what actually happened. Now, we didn't give him an opportunity to speak, and I think we'd like to get that presentation tomorrow morning. And we'd like the board members to be present for that. I don't think we've exhausted all the line of questioning. There are still quite a few issues that people would want to discuss. I know that. It's not just the finances, and it's not just the management and board relationship. So I want to suggest that we reconvene tomorrow at 10 o'clock, and we'll give this process another 2 hours tomorrow for the session with the board. Yeah.
A closing allowance by this committee for tomorrow.
At the moment, this committee hasn't got a subsistence allowance for meals. They've curtailed austerity measures in Parliament. Don't ask me why, but you saw there were very limited number of sandwiches. They count 40 sandwiches only or something like that. So I know many members didn't eat because we allowed the guests to eat today. And you also didn't eat. But that's part of the austerity measures we've got here. I know that it might be an imposition, but I would really appeal if the members of the board could be present tomorrow as well. I know that you are not full time, but I think we are midway in the process now, and it's an extremely useful exercise, and it would be unfortunate if we are forced to take a decision without a proper hearing of all issues and all sides.
Can I just ask another question?
what I feared and what we feared would happen this morning has in fact happened, that certain unsubstantiated allegations have been made and put out of context, and I appreciate that you did give the board an opportunity to discuss that. The problem, though, is that it's clear some people came prepared and were reading from documents. The board has had absolutely no opportunity to prepare for that. And if we come here tomorrow in 2 hours and face again a series of questions where there's no limit to what the questions can ask, we are facing the same jeopardy that we have talked. And even though we've said it without prejudice, I really would like to appeal to you to try and safeguard our interests and our rights. Even within the context, we've tried to cooperate with the committee by answering some questions, and we will do that, subject, of course, to the reservation of our rights. But I really would appeal that we limit the range of things we are required, because we could probably, in a much easier way, respond to the committee if we had the documents in front of us. Like Gloria talking about sports rights. What we were given cricket, and the soccer PSL and rugby rights. We lost those rights. And that, over time, and I mean, Robin might be able to confirm, we think it was around 500 million, but that's on memory. We don't know. If we had the opportunity, we could give you exact figures, you know. And the second thing, Chairperson, I just want to reassure the board that I'm very much a board member, just for the sake of the record, that I am here as a director.
All right, Mr. Mananela. Quickly now, we are on to 4 o'clock.
Yeah, very quickly. I think in consideration of that point, maybe we can indicate that as part of the entire process, we will also accept whatever written submissions that either board members or management or anybody wants to make for consideration for the committee's decision.
All right, so Mr. Zanga.
I understood that when we listed all the tasks we wanted done on Thursday, there was a specific request that all those documents need to be handed to the board.
We have not received any documents. Well, we received one document it was just a document with a list of duties. There were no questions, no instructions, no requests. We have not received anything other than
that. Well, we asked that it be given to the two board members that were here. If it hasn't been given, then that must be done. I mean, all the documents we raised, we gave the names.
Well, it has to be done through the company secretariat, not even the board members. They did mention some issues.
Can I just, before I get interrupted, can I just ask that gets done properly now after this meeting, that someone from the board, if you don't trust the secretariat, then yourselves get all the documents. No, it's just important. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm here on the basis that I thought they were given the documents. If they haven't been given the documents, then we must give it to them exactly to answer the... I mean, there's a whole lot of accusations here made by the unions, for example, and the whole thick document.
Can I just say that, as far as I know, that document was sent to the Chief People's Officer by... Okay, now let me just explain before we all get excited about it. The document was sent. It's a 100-page document. It was sent from my office to the Chief People's Officer because I think the request was made that we need to send the document so the people can have time to look at it, etc. So from our side, I think the learning institution report, I think that is available to members of the board. It's there in the public domain in any event. So those are the only two documents that we had to send. Document was given to the company secretary.
Chairman, factually, we do not have the document. That's a fact. And if it is a 100-page document, I'm not reading not a document tonight, which is that size, such as to talk practically to it. I'm not capable of doing that. So factually, we don't have the document. That's a fact. Thank you.
You suggested that we are allowed to make written submission, and I would really appeal to you, Chair, to, in the interest of fairness, that when we do get those documents, the board is then able to respond in writing to those questions. We would be happy to do that.
Chair, let us give the documents first. Tomorrow we're having a meeting, and there will be further questions. I actually found today one of the more liberating days that I've experienced a long time after lunch. I don't know what people ate at lunch, but at least it made them talk after lunch. And for the first time, we know, and it's important, for the first time we've had board members speaking for themselves and not others speak on their behalf. Very vital for this committee to hear those things. So I think that we must give the documents directly to the board. There is clearly a breakdown of communication between whoever. And we must give them the documents. If they want to read it or not, it's up to them. Those questions we're asking tomorrow, tomorrow we'll decide on how much time we need or not need any further. But I think for us to make decisions now that we're going to, you know, do this or that or the other, we haven't reached tomorrow. And I think we must do our best to give it to the members, and if they're interested in reading, like after lunch today, they became amazing. Good.
No, look, we will make a copy of the document available to you. But I do want to address Mr. Mampone. Mr. Mampone? You know, I really want you to look at this matter of the company secretary and documentation. It can't be that once we send things to the office, it is not circulated. Now, I don't think it's my job to discipline the company secretary or start an inquiry into that. But this breakdown in the normal logistical support arrangement is something that is just unacceptable. I think we've got to say something that is unacceptable. We've made a clear decision last week that we would send the stuff, it's sent to your office, and then nothing happens afterwards. It's not acceptable. All right, so we'll get the secretary at least to make one copy available. We'll see if we can photocopy them for all the board members before the end of the day. Is it possible? All right, we will try and see what we can do, but you will get one copy at least. All right, the meeting stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Thank you very much. Thank you.